This is Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. The State Department announces that the U.N. Security Council resolution put forward by the Palestinians is, quote, not something we would support.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Palestinians released their full resolution last night, and I was wondering, now that it is public and released, if you have an official response to it, whether you would support it or not.
We have seen the draft. It is not something we would support, and we think others feel the same and are calling for further consultations. The Palestinians understand that. You may have also seen President Abbas speak to this earlier today and have said they support continued consultations and are not pushing for a vote on this now.
Do you think this is something that can form the basis of negotiations, as President Abbas indicated, or is this something so far from what might be acceptable that entire alternatives must be come up with?
There are a range of issues that we're all aware of. People from all sides and parties will be discussed as a part of any draft resolution. But in terms of the specifics of this in its current form, we couldn't support it.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Can you outline what in the resolution you find particularly objectionable?
Well, I'm not going to get into too many specifics or any, really, about the particular resolution. I will say, in general, our principles have been, which I've spoken about in this room over the course of this week, that we wouldn't support any action that would prejudge the outcome of negotiations.
So it's the content of this particular resolution, not the aim itself of Security Council terms of reference, that you find objectionable.
Correct.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. While the State Department, to some extent, could no longer keep saying they've made no decision, they have not yet decided where they stand on this resolution before the UN Security Council. They have announced that they would oppose it. Now, they didn't say we're going to veto it. They didn't necessarily say they would even vote no on it. So what did they say? Well, they say we don't support this. Now, a no vote would be a veto. That's what you could take from the language, which would certainly make sense with even past Obama administration policy when it comes to these kind of resolutions at the UN Security Council. But as much as possible, the State Department is almost trying to play down their true response here, which is we don't support this, but it's all couched in specific terms, and it's not so much the idea as the specifics of the resolution. All of this changing things in the relationship with Israel, we're going to break that down for you today. These three statements by the State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki on the resolution about the Palestinians and specifically about Jerusalem and the withdrawal from the West Bank on the air today. We're going to take your phone calls on it as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, there's plenty to talk about here. We've also got our matching challenge right now. It's a great time to support the American Center for Law and Justice. You don't have to think. Nearly 70,000 people took action to make sure the State Department issued a public response on this draft resolution. Though it's not perfect, this response, we do believe, in one sense, it seems like this could come back in a few months. And in another sense, though, the White House is not supporting this. The Obama administration is not supporting this, and they're doing so publicly. I want to thank so many of you, thousands of you, who took action immediately to stand with our ally Israel. But this is a really great time of year, an important time of year to support the American Center for Law and Justice with your financial support if you're able to. And anything you donate is matched, so it's doubled. It's a matching challenge right now at the American Center for Law and Justice. We encourage you, make that donation online safely and securely at ACLJ.org. But if you'd rather do it by phone, you can absolutely do that. Here's the toll-free number you call if you can make a financial donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. Call now. The toll-free number is 877-989-2255. This is an important time of year as we build towards 2015 for your support. 877-989-2255. Remember, we want to talk to you on air. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
We'll be right back.
The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled. A gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. Now in flesh appearing, oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore
him. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. By the way, the FBI is officially said that that North Korea, the government of North Korea, was responsible for the cyber attack on Sony, and that's led to all the different decisions they've made on not to release movies and the personal information that's been released. And, you know, who it really hits hardest is the everyday employee at Sony, whose now personal financial data is at risk. And so, you know, one thing about celebrities, one thing about movies, but for the people that work there and who, you know, that's how they pay their bills and how they take care of their family. So it's really hitting. And now the FBI is officially saying that North Korea is responsible for this cyber attack. Many are saying that they've won the first real cyber war victory by Sony deciding not to release the movie that was in question there called The Interview. Again, a lot remains to be seen, a whole developing new world of warfare through the internet, and of course financial data and things like that. It's very real. It's not just about movies. We'll continue to take your phone call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's start breaking this down. David French and Than Bennett are joining me here today on the show. I want to break down the questions that finally led to the State Department announcing opposition, public opposition to the resolution by the Palestinians at the UN Security Council. Take a listen. This is bite number one in the first question received by the State Department spokesperson.
Palestinians released their full resolution last night, and I was wondering, now that it is public and released, if you have an official response to it, whether you would support it or not.
We have seen the draft. It is not something we would support, and we think others feel the same and are calling for further consultations. The Palestinians understand that. You may have also seen President Abbas speak to this earlier today, and have said they support continued consultations and are not pushing for a vote on this now.
Now, again, you know, typical diplomatic language. We want to see more and further consultations. It's not something we would support as it stands, as the draft stands. So that's good that it's opposing, the U.S. government's opposing finally publicly the most extreme parts of this resolution. But as it goes on, and we'll break it down for you, it's not the idea the U.S. government's not opposed to the entire resolution or the idea of a resolution like this. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go first to David French, senior counsel with the ACLJ. David, your reaction.
Well, bottom line is once the resolution was out there, they could no longer hide behind this fig leaf of, well, we haven't seen it. We don't know what's in it. We'll have to study it. It was right in front of their face. They had a black and white decision to make. And, you know, for now, they made the tentative right decision. But you know what they did? Because they still just can't stop putting pressure on Israel. They went on, and we'll break this down, they went on and described how there's going to be some sort of process going forward here. There should not be any process going forward here. It should be just flatly opposition.
Than your reaction to this statement. It's certainly tepid at best.
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things on this portion of it. First of all, this is why we speak out, Jordan. I mean, I will say at least in the last 24 hours, there's been significant movement in the right direction. We have what we need at this point in time. So I think we have to acknowledge that that's a victory. The other thing I would say, though, is what took so long and why was it so hard? I mean, this is something that should have been just an immediate reaction out of the United States. It was not. And sort of the one component of this I think that was missing is they didn't say they would actually vote no, and that is what a veto is. They said they would not support. I will say I would like to see a follow-up ask of the State Department just to confirm that when it came to a vote that they wouldn't just abstain, because Jordan, that would not trigger a veto, as you alluded to. That would simply be, we don't support this, but we also don't veto
it. So it's cautiously optimistic at this stage of the game, folks. I mean, we're not saying that this is done for good, that this is done for now, but the way that this was couched by the State Department, this could be coming back and roaring back once again. In fact, the question was asked of the State Department spokesperson Jen Psaki about, is this something that can come back and even form the basis of negotiations with Israel? And listen to this. It's not just a simple no ever from this Obama administration when it comes to defending our allies like Israel. Bite two.
Do you think this is something that can form the basis of negotiations, as President Abbas indicated, or is this something so far from what might be acceptable that entire alternatives must be come up with?
There are a range of issues that we're all aware, people from all sides and parties, will be discussed as a part of any draft resolution. But in terms of the specifics of this in its current form, we couldn't support it.
Again, you know, not saying no, not saying it couldn't be the basis, and there's a range of issues that they say they discuss as part of a draft resolution. So they're just saying, in its current form, we can't support it. It's, again, opening the door for the Palestinians to rewrite, redraft, change certain provisions. In fact, it's the U.S. basically saying, this is what you need to change for us to possibly come on and support, or if not support, at least not stand in the way, as Dan was talking about. I want to take your phone calls now if you want to talk to us on air. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Glenn calling in from California on line one. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello.
Hi, Glenn. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a thought. You know, with all the problems that are going on, Ebola and Benghazi and the Occupy Wall Street and Ferguson, the phrase comes to my mind of organized chaos. And if this is not all being planned for some future event, just want to know what you might think about that.
Well, I do think there's an idea, Glenn, by this administration that they will do everything possible to distract and also, as you said, this kind of chaotic, not being able to guess, and we're not even talking about yet the Cuba change in policy that comes out of what appears to be nowhere, and so you don't know what they'll do. And then when they are given kind of clear questions, they can no longer kick the can down the road on saying, well, the resolution's not public or we haven't seen it when it comes to this issue with the Palestinians. They still don't say an absolute no. They kind of draw it out. So can they catch off guard again down the road? I think this has always been an idea. I don't think there was any question that CIA report came out the same day Jonathan Gruber testified. And then we see this idea by the Obama administration to overwhelm people. I think even overwhelm the 24-hour news cycle to where it's impossible to cover everything. The immigration action, the CIA, it goes on and on and on. Obamacare, the IRS still refusing to hand over emails that they've now found linking the White House directly to the targeting scandal. And yet, you know, you put all this together, it's pretty tough. Even in our hour-long broadcast, you can't get to everything.
Yeah, especially on this issue, Jordan. I mean, this was not a difficult one. This was an easy one. It should have been over immediately if they had just responded with a little bit of strength. And not even strength, really. If they just responded and consistent with their policy, it would have been over. But I actually think they liked sucking some of the oxygen out of the room. They liked distracting from the other issues that aren't going so well from them. And on that last piece of sound you played, Jordan, I mean, the State Department spokesman and conceded that this resolution could form the basis of an additional agreement or an additional resolution. One of the terms in that resolution was the 1967 borders. That is a non-starter, and our State Department should be the first one that says any resolution that starts with those borders is a non-starter for us. The problem is the president has already said that that's where he thinks negotiations should start.
Folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. The questioning went further. We'll get to that in the next segment of the broadcast. I want to continue to take your phone calls. Let's go to Greg calling in from Washington State on line 3. And, folks, if you want to talk to us on air, give us a call. Toll-free number to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you, Greg.
Hello? Okay, yeah, I'm just a little confused. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a North Korean supporter or anything. I think the guy's a jerk myself. But what I'm concerned about is here we teach our kids in school not to bully other kids because it makes them retaliate and it's just not a good thing. But isn't our media, by making this movie, bullying another person from another country that's making them retaliate?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's parity, and that's always been something, you know, we protect in the United States. And there, listen, you could say what goes too far and what world leaders are off limits, but, you know, when it comes to North Korea and a brutal dictatorship, I don't think anyone was even questioning the idea behind the movie. It was the North Korean response. So I don't think that's bullying. That's called, you know, it's foreign affairs. It's actually part of the whole geopolitical system is kind of controlling narratives and putting out, you know, information. The North Korean people are in a horrendous situation. If this brings any more attention to that, I think ultimately the North Koreans lose. And I do believe that that regime is doomed to fail more, you know, as the world continues to isolate it. But so at the same time, I think that, you know, the more we talk about it, the better it is. And I think in that sense, it's almost done. We're talking about North Korea and the horrible situation the people there are in, including anyone who is associated with Christianity, who gets put to death. You know, they not only do they keep Americans in prison for years, but they execute their own people at an unbelievably high rate. And so if it drives that conversation, you know what? I think that you don't have to like everything Hollywood does, certainly, but I don't think that there's an issue there about bullying. I think this is about almost speaking some truth to power. And unfortunately, Hollywood is afraid to do that because of this leak. And we don't know the full extent yet. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We have our matching challenge where anything you donate to us is doubled. So this is a great time to support us financially. Call 877-989-2255. Donate online, aclj.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200.
We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled, a gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. To set the stage for you, if you're just joining us, the United States finally did announce that it opposes the resolution at the UN Security Council put forward on behalf of the Palestinians by the Jordanians that would recognize Jerusalem as the capital, would push the Israelis out of East Jerusalem, and also call to an end to any Israeli troops. And as they're called even by the U.S. government, security troops in the West Bank, which is one of the reasons that it's pointed to why Hamas has not taken over the West Bank yet. And remember, we provide millions of dollars a year in funding to Palestinian security services in the West Bank because of the threats from internal terrorism and from groups like Hamas. Here is the third question that was received. So this is how unclear it was. We've already played two of the back and forths. Here's the third by a reporter to Jen Psaki, the State Department spokesperson. Take a listen, bite three.
Can you outline what in the resolution you find particularly objectionable?
Well, I'm not going to get into too many specifics or any really about the particular resolution. I will say in general, our principles have been, which I've spoken about in this room over the course of this week, that we wouldn't support any action that would prejudge the outcome of the negotiations.
So it's the content of this particular resolution, not the aim itself of Security Council terms of reference, that you find objectionable.
Correct.
Again, I want to go to David and Than on this. David, we'll start with you.
Look, here's where we're starting to get into the muddy waters. Here's where we're starting to see the Obama administration backing Israel, but leaving the hedge here, leaving their ability to revisit this issue. And that's what's disturbing. You know, you always see the same pattern from the Obama administration. So there's always a hidden but in whatever they say. It's like, we are an ally of Israel, a strong ally, but, and then that's where things begin to get dicey. And as this dialogue goes on, you see the resolve of the Obama administration is weak indeed.
Than?
Jordan, this is the question and response that actually really bother me, because the follow-up there was asking Jen Psaki whether or not the content of this particular resolution was the problem and not the idea of a resolution in general. And she says, correct. That is wrong. The position of the United States has always been that a solution to this problem lies in negotiations between the parties and not through a unilateral action at the Security Council. So I hope she was just misspeaking there, because if this is another shift in the U.S. position on this, it is a very important distinction to make, and I think it's yet another follow-up that needs to be asked of the State Department.
All right, folks, we're going to start taking your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, we have a matching challenge right now. Anything you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice is effectively doubled. It's matched. So this is a great time as we get close to the end of the year to support the American Center for Law and Justice with your financial donation if you can and if you're able to. It's very important to all of the work that we do here in the United States and around the world as we build towards 2015 with so many cases. If you go to aclj.org right now, you will see how many cases we've got going on, how many different topics we are handling and issues we are handling at the same time. It's all because of your support. Whether you join petitions, you're not able to make financial contributions, or you contribute to the ACLJ financially. And as you notice, I say contribution in different ways, because your petitions matter, listening to this broadcast, sharing the stories with your and the information with your friends and family. That all is important. But we also need your financial support to continue to grow and do the work that we do. If you can make a donation, you can go online to aclj.org. It's very easy and quick to do it there at aclj.org, or by phone, calling our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go right to the phones. Billy calling in from California, online too. Billy, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you.
Thanks, Billy. You're on the air.
Yes. I personally, as a Christian, feel I don't care who the president is. Israel, you don't want to cross if you're not even a Christian. How would you like your homes bombed and your families and people killed, and daily suicidal men from ISIS or wherever they're coming from, come, they've been for years and years and years, and I feel that we should back, that's what I thought the United Nations were for. When our country sees another country that has just been in such pain and agony and losing and fighting, they're not over here to where we can help them daily, nightly and daily. They're having their children killed or kidnapped or bombed or their homes. They have walking. They need clothing. And besides that, that's God's chosen people. And that's the last thing I would say.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you for calling in, and folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls. And I agree, that is what the United Nations is supposed to be for. It's supposed to be protecting those who are good and joining in force together, if we have to, against those who have violated international norms and have committed acts of terrorism. But unfortunately, the United Nations has become extremely anti-Israel. And just to underscore that, even when it comes to Iran, not even a majority of the countries who are member states of the UN are supporting a resolution condemning the human rights situation in Iran. That is dropping year after year after year. So it's getting more and more difficult at the United Nations. We're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Stephen in California, on line one. Stephen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Listen to your show a lot and love it. My only feeling is, and I'm 69 years old, so I've been around a couple of years, this government, and not just this administration, but I'm stressing this administration, of course, they're doing it again. We keep turning our back on our allies. We did it in South Vietnam. We did it with Taiwan. And we're doing it again with Israel. It's not the right way to get to do things. We got to stop turning our back on our allies just to appease our enemies.
Well, listen to what Senator Ted Cruz had to say about this administration. I think, Stephen, it goes in line exactly with what you just said, Byte 33.
They are a leading state sponsor of terrorism, and just like President Obama did with Russia, just like President Obama did with Iran, he does not understand the difference between our friends and our enemies.
Folks, that is the issue right there. And let me go to David French today. We got another half hour coming up. But the idea here that we are just not treating our allies the right way and we're doing everything possible, it appears to appease our enemies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I totally agree with the caller. And look, I mean, we can add to that list. Think about Iraq. Think about the Kurds in Iraq. I mean, after all the many years that they helped us in Iraq, the Kurds were brought to the brink of absolute disaster at the hands of ISIS before we finally intervened, and intervened really in an inadequate way to drive ISIS back. So yeah, appease enemies and betray friends. That's the Obama foreign policy in five words.
Folks, we'll continue to take your phone call in the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, let me encourage you, if you can support us right now financially, this is the time to do it, because your donation will be matched. So effectively, it will be doubled for the American Center for Law and Justice. A $10 donation becomes $20, $20 becomes $40. You can do the math from there, folks. It's a great time to support us as we build towards 2015 and the work that we're doing now. You know, it's not like we're coming to a year end and we stop and start back over. It continues, and we need your support. Call now, make that donation by phone, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or you can make the donation online at aclj.org.
It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com also available in bookstores everywhere.
We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Many of you are responding to the now allegation and no longer just thinking or guessing about it. The FBI has said that North Korea was responsible for the attack on Sony, the cyber attack on Sony, not just a cell within North Korea or North Koreans, but the actual North Korean government was responsible. So we'll take some of your phone calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. We're also talking about, you know, it's a victory in the sense that finally the Obama administration is no longer silent. They have said, and let me play this for you again to set the stage, because we've been talking about it the last 2 days, this resolution at the UN Security Council that the U.S. government refused to say they opposed publicly by the Palestinians, that would call for withdrawal from the Israelis, from Jerusalem, from the West Bank. I mean, we're talking about all the issues that should not be handled by the UN Security Council that they put forward. Take a listen, because here's the U.S. response. It's not the greatest response. It's not the perfect response, but it is more than saying we don't have a response yet. Bite one.
Palestinians released their full resolution last night, mm-hmm. and I was wondering, now that it is public and released, if you have an official response to it, whether you would support it or not.
We have seen the draft. It is not something we would support, and we think others feel the same and are calling for further consultations. The Palestinians understand that. You may have also seen President Abbas speak to this earlier today, and have said they support continued consultations and are not pushing for a vote on this now.
So there you go. I mean, it's not perfect, folks, but it is a response saying that we don't support this. They are opening the door, and that's why we're not saying that this is over 100%. We put a kind of a hold on our petition. We want to thank all of you, almost 70,000 who signed just online at ACLJ.org for taking quick action. Getting this response is certainly, it is a victory, and it's not over until it's over. And with this administration, it ain't over until 2018, until this president is done. I mean, it's just not. They've still got these decisions to make. They are never definitive, and certainly they have opened the door to a way where it'd be easy for them to shift their policy around. I want to go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Larry calling from Colorado, online 4. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, sir. I am so happy that you have just absolutely stood the line over the last 16 years, clear back to the 9/11, when we were blindsided by terrorists hijacking our planes. And the whole thing is full of threats. But Team Obama, my gosh, 6 years in office, and they have been obstructionary, and they have their agenda. It's become clear. And in the face of better reasoning, they are stonewalling progress. They put themselves out as a party of progress, but they're trying to take us back, basically, I hate to say it, but back to a feudal system where it's crusades and it's the guy with the strongest sword that's going to control the people in his district.
Well, and Larry, that is what it's so dangerous. I mean, you talk about feudal or medieval times. I mean, you look at ISIS, and they are crucifying people as we speak right now. And that is what is going on in Syria and Iraq. And we cannot ignore the threats to the United States that are enemies, whether it's North Korea and cyber attacks, whether it's terrorism, whether it's inspired acts of terrorism, as people like to call it, lone wolf. I don't really like that term anymore. Or it's the actual violence we're seeing in Iraq and Syria, the threats to our allies like Israel. We've got to be, in 2015, and as we close this year, we have to be really, really on point, the United States of America. And I'm very concerned about this administration, though I am pleased about the new Congress that will be in Washington, D.C., and hope that they will be able to hold this administration more accountable with your help. Folks, if you can support us, this is a great time to support the ACLJ financially. Call 877-989-2255 or make a donation at aclj.org.
The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled. A gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking about Israel when we brought up North Korea, and now that the FBI has said that North Korea, the government of North Korea, is responsible for the cyber attack on Sony. And I will say this, folks. There's, I think, two sides to this coin. One is all the people who work at Sony who are just, you know, they're not the celebrities. They're not the most high-paid people there. And their financial information is now at risk. I think it's very difficult for them. And you can't forget those folks as well. We, you know, people like to talk about the celebrities, like to talk about the movie. But the truth is it really affects a lot of normal folks who are, got to go through a lot of hardship now because they work as part of. And so, you know, that's one thing. On the number two point, I would say is that, like these movies or not, the idea that they have canceled the movies, you know, the premieres and the showing and the entire movie from being released, it just shows you, one, that even when you think these countries are extremely isolated, there are new threats to the United States, and we have to decide how we're going to respond. Now, this was an attack on a private business, so they have got their own rights as well. But I think that, you know, the idea is maybe everybody doesn't want to rally around a raunchy comedy. And that's not necessarily the best rallying point for everybody. But at the same time, the idea of freedom of speech and expression and also the idea that you can offend world leaders who are horrible, dictators that treat their citizens horrendously, and the U.S. will back you on that, and U.S. companies will get backing to release that kind of media as well. And whether it's parody, comedy, again, we know that these dictators, they can't stand it to the point of even, you know, putting at risk. Imagine what the U.S. can do back to North Korea. We allow a lot of foreign aid to go into North Korea, and this has got to put that in jeopardy. It should put that into jeopardy. We can't allow them to just attack whatever U.S. companies they want and get away with it. So we'll see what the response is or how that is handled. At the same time, North Korea released some Americans from imprisonment. So very difficult regime to predict, to say the least. We'll go right to the phones now. Let's go to David in Texas on line 3. David, welcome to JSECIO Live.
Hey, thanks, guys. First of all, I really appreciate what you guys do. I try to contribute when I can, so
thanks,
I just
David.
Wanted to say that, first of all.
Thank you.
My question involves the actual, I guess, the action against North Korea. You guys having legal backgrounds, I was in intelligence for several years, and I know we grew a little frustrated with the Bush administration because they were having a hard time putting into law or codifying a response for a cyber attack, and now that we have seen one on a private business, from y'all's, from everyone's perspective, legally, what could a government do to respond to something like that, seeing it's now confirmed that it's a government-sanctioned attack on a private business?
Well, you know, one, I would say this information is still coming out. In fact, I was just checking Drudge Report, as we do throughout the broadcast, and the Telegraph, Daily Telegraph in the UK, has got a story that China may have helped North Korea. So, again, that could raise the bar on exactly, and we know China and the U.S. have been engaged in kind of these behind-the-scenes cyber attacks, usually at government sources of information and data. Though there have been other cyber attacks before, credit card attacks, things like that, typically it's been government to government, and then you've got the outside actors, some who may be state-sponsored in these more questionable regimes. And in North Korea, certainly the way the FBI said it, it is the North Korean government. It's not a state-sponsored part of the North outside group. It is the North Korean government. But I'll go to David French here, because, Dave, I think the response on the first place is that we've got to get up to speed on this is a very real threat now to America that can be posed by countries which, you know, it's almost laughable. Their statements, when they shoot missiles and they try to launch these missiles and they basically are putting more of their own people at risk because the missile may be getting off the ground and then landing back in its own country, not going very far. Pretty bad technology, pretty behind, you know, outdated information. But if you get a couple of smart folks and they got plenty of those and computers, you can cause a whole lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and one thing we have to understand, there's nothing really new about this. It's new in that it's hit the headlines and they targeted this private company. But North Korea, China, Russia have been engaging low-intensity cyber warfare against the United States for a very long time. And so we try to defend against that, and we have been doing that in turn as well. I mean, you remember there are a number of viruses that have been involved.
Sure, Stuxnet, yeah.
Exactly. So this goes back and forth all the time, and this is one where, unfortunately, the bad guys scored a big victory from a cyber warfare perspective. They got a major American movie studio to back down. They protected the reputation of their dictator. This was a good day for them, and there has to be an American response.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go. We're also talking about the issue of the Obama administration in Israel. Let's go to Nanette in California on line 2. Nanette, welcome to JSECIO Live.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call today. And first of all, thank you for you and your center for doing all the great work that you do to bring all the important issues to the American public. I just have a comment in regards to the Obama administration.
Sure.
You know, you think they would have realized when that first issue came up with him being a possible non-citizen to begin with. And then when the paper came along that he wrote when he was in college in regards to his views on our government, and his socialistic views. And then with each issue after he was elected, one major issue after another, I thought, you know, there must be some type of covert plan going on here, because either he is the most inept lawyer or he's going to be the worst president to go down in history.
I think here's the case. To you, it's inept. To me, a lot of these decisions can be seen as inept, poor, bad judgment, bad decision-making, and outright absurd. But the truth is, I believe it's a very radical agenda. Now he's in those final 2 years where he doesn't have to worry about elections, no midterm elections, not his reelection. And so, Than, we're getting to see more of the true Obama in 2016 than we've seen in 2014 and now 2015 than we have seen throughout his presidency.
Especially when it comes to foreign policy, Jordan. I mean, he outlined this when he came into office, right? This was his appeasement policy, so it's really no accident. The shocking part is how far he's been able to achieve that over 6 years. I mean, especially look at the relationship with Israel. He has moved from a situation where our response, the United States' response, is automatic and instinctive to a place where the Palestinians can file this resolution at the Security Council and get it tabled before there's even a response from the State Department. So it's really come a long way. And the other thing I would say to Nanette is it's not lost on Democrats in his party in the United States Senate. I mean, we played this yesterday, but Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer put out a unified statement calling on this administration to speak out quickly and to speak out decisively. So even within his own party, he's often on an island on these issues.
All right, folks, we'll continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Scott calling in from Ohio on line 6. Scott, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a comment about the North Korea situation. I don't understand. There's so much stuff going on in the world right now. We're at a very critical time. Christians are fighting for their lives, and then you have that guy in Hollywood, I can't think of his name right now, but those two guys get together and make this movie, and all they did was kick a huge hornet's nest that was totally unnecessary at this time, and I just don't understand why they would do that. I heard what you said about parody and all that, and I understand free speech, I get that, but realistically, look at what's going on right now in the world. And it was just not necessary. And you are totally correct on the Obama thing, that he's decimating this country. And we're in for a huge surprise the next 2 years. And North Korea is behind all the cyber stuff. And we're going to see more stuff from them because they're extremely mad. Because, those guys knew how North Korea is. Everybody does. So,
I don't think we have to be worried. I think we're in a pretty sad state in the country if we're worried about North Korea. I think that we have to take their threats seriously. We have to deal with the reality of what they can and can't do, what they can and can't accomplish, how they can and can't hurt our infrastructures or our private businesses, which is important to the United States of America, obviously, and to all of us listening to the show right now and on the show right now. But at the same time, we have to be realistic. And David, I think, we can't give too much weight to what North Korea has done. I think that we've seen a more extreme response here because there's a private company that was targeted. And so you're not seeing maybe the same kind of strength you would see if it was the U.S. government. And folks, we'll continue these conversations. Let me encourage you to support the American Center for Law and Justice. If you can support us financially right now, your donation will be doubled. So it's a matching challenge. Anything you donate is effectively doubled for us. You can donate by phone calling 877-989-2255, which is our toll-free number. That's 877-989-2255. Or you can go to aclj.org. Very easy to donate online. So by phone, 877-989-2255 or at aclj.org. We would really appreciate your support.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We
must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the J. Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. The American Center for Law and Justice engages the critical issues protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. It's vital work that could not be accomplished without your generosity, your financial support. Now you can make a tremendous difference with our matching challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. We really need to hear from you now. Please support the ACLJ. Your gift made today will be doubled. A gift that will keep us on the front lines protecting you and your family. Support the ACLJ and your gift will be doubled. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to J. Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, we are continuing with our matching challenge here at the ACLJ. All of the work that we do here at the ACLJ is made possible because of your support. And for a limited time, your gift is going to be doubled. $50 becomes $100, $25 becomes $50, and so on. If you can help support the work of the ACLJ, I want you to go to aclj.org. Give what you can. It really does enable all of the work that we do here. I want to touch on a couple of issues here because I want to play an interview that Jordan gave CBN a couple of days ago on both of the issues that we've been talking about this week, the immigration actions of the president and the challenge that we have been supporting against that action, and also the situation with normalizing relations with Cuba. And I do want to play a piece of sound to set this up from Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, obviously one of the people in the Senate with the most interest in Cuba. He had this to say after the president's announcement that he was going to normalize relations with Cuba, Bite 14.
It's ironic that a week after we imposed sanctions on human rights violators in Venezuela, we are lifting sanctions on a government that has taught the Venezuelans how to commit these human rights violations. It's absurd. And it's part of a long record of coddling dictators and tyrants that this administration has established.
Listen, here's the problem with doing this deal without any concessions from Cuba. We have removed their motivation to change. There is no longer any incentive for the Castro brothers to change the way they have been operating because they just got rewarded by the strongest nation in the world for the way they have been acting. Now, I think this is a fair conversation to have what our relations should look like with Cuba. But doing this deal with essentially no concessions from Cuba just ensures they will continue to act the way they have been operating in the past. And folks, I think if you contrast what the president is doing in Cuba with how he is treating Israel, our staunchest ally over the last several decades, it is really telling. I want you to take a listen to this interview. This is Jordan on CBN talking about this issue with Cuba and also the immigration effort that we've been engaged in. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
President Obama's executive order on immigration is facing a legal challenge. The American Center for Law and Justice is representing 27 members of Congress in a federal lawsuit filed by 24 states challenging the constitutionality of President Obama's immigration action. And here with more on the case is the ACLJ's Jordan Sekulow. Jordan, tell us about the lawsuit and why these lawmakers feel it's necessary.
They believe that, you know, their power is being taken away unconstitutionally, that it's not just a political spat with the President of the United States between Congress and the executive branch, but that this is part of Congress's job is to handle the nation's immigration laws. Article 1 of the Constitution absolutely makes that clear. And that, yes, while the president has discretion, if the president were to say, listen, we want to handle violent criminals and we're going to use our resources a specific way, that's one thing. But then to say that we're also going to tell a lot of millions of people who apply that they can stay, that they're not going to be deported, that we're reprioritizing and we're going to give them rights like the right to work and the right to be legally present in the United States, that's something Congress has to do.
What will it mean for the executive order as it stands now?
This case will seek an injunction, so it could put a halt to President Obama's action going into force while the actual issues are litigated. So there's a two-step process here. The first is to try and stop what President Obama has done from going into force, which will be sometime this late winter, early spring, the administration has said. And then second, to actually fully litigate this issue. Does the president have this kind of power to take this action on his own without Congress?
Your father, Jay Sekulow, recently testified before the House Judiciary Committee that President Obama has overreached his authority. Can Congress do anything about that, Jordan?
Congress could take legal action on their own through the legislative process. But realistically, for this year, that process is over. And for the coming year, though, you're going to see a Republican takeover of the U.S. Senate. And certainly, I don't want to put any doubt that there may not be some action there. It could be pretty unlikely that they're going to get legislation that's in that they like the most through the U.S. Senate because of the filibuster. So they don't have a filibuster-proof majority. And also, they don't have a veto-proof majority. So they can't override a veto by President Obama. So I think that they've realized taking the legal action, they're going to do everything they can. So they may work on legislation. They've worked on defunding the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees all of this. So their funding only goes in place until February. So this issue will come back up again through congressional action. But I don't think they wanted to wait. I think that's why you saw members of Congress, and they didn't have a long time to make the decision on joining our brief.
Well, what do you think needs to happen in the national debate over immigration?
I think a lot of this, the people who are already here, who have not done anything criminal other than come here illegally, so they're not violent criminals, they don't have long criminal records. Their breaking of the law was coming to the U.S. Without legal authority, and so coming here illegally or bringing their family here illegally, that those people could be handled in a long-term way where they don't have to worry. Remember, if we accept this kind of executive action, Mark, then a future president can reverse it. Even this president could reverse it. So we're asking people to come out of the shadows, if you will, and rely on presidential action, not an act of Congress, not a law that's signed by the president and goes through the constitutional process. But we're not going to get action on that. And so I think all these people would be covered for the most part in a much more lawful and reliable way. But we're not going to get there if Democrats and President Obama refuse to also really secure the border. And until we're at that point, I think that we're just, you know, we're talking platitudes until we get there.
Okay, Jordan Sekulow with the ACLJ. Thanks, Jordan, for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
Again, folks, that was Jordan on CBN. We will keep you posted on the issue with Cuba as well. It's going to be a very interesting one going forward. But moving back quickly to this issue at the United Nations, where the United States really took their time and delayed announcing that they opposed this resolution. Folks, I really think they are responsible for the fact that it had as much momentum as it did. And the delay was very harmful, quite frankly. I mean, the Palestinians got this resolution much farther than they ever had before. I really think what Senator Graham and Senator Schumer, in a bipartisan fashion, said last week is key here. And I'm going to read to you from a statement that they put out. This was before the announcement from Jen Psaki at the State Department that the United States does, in fact, oppose this resolution. Here's their statement. We strongly urge you to make clear to all parties that the United States strongly opposes and, if need be, will veto any effort to bypass direct negotiations and impose peace terms on Israel through the United Nations. A failure to decisively announce that we will veto any resolution from the United Nations that dictates the peace process runs counter to decades of American foreign policy and only gives momentum to those counterproductive proposals. Folks, I really think the key there was announcing the veto, and I will tell you, that is where I am a bit disappointed with this action. I do not think that the statement from the State Department is as strong as it should have been, but at the same time, at least they have now announced their opposition. We are grateful for that. Folks, if you can support the work of the ACLJ, we really do depend on your support. This is an important fundraising time of the year for the ACLJ. Your gift will be matched. It will be doubled. So your $10 gift becomes $20. Your $50 gift becomes $100. You can donate online at ACLJ.org. It will support the domestic and the international work of the ACLJ. So again, give if you can. ACLJ.org.
Dispersed the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadow put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice.
Rise of ISIS, a must read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the J. Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.